There is so much information to absorb and investigating of what's going on to do. Joining us right now is Linda Zinkowitz, fightvoterfraud.org, fightvoterfraud.org. There's no voter fraud in the United States of America, and particularly in the state of Connecticut, Linda. Don't you know that?
Let me keep laughing on that particular statement.
So you are the person who gave yourself the assignment, since nobody in state government was doing anything about obvious problems that there are in our voter systems. And you decided to take it on your shoulders and to try to carry some of these projects across the finish line. So tell us what you've been doing.
Well, we have been doing a lot as far as researching through the Connecticut voter rolls, the people who voted in absentee ballots, et cetera. Most recently, which is what our press release was about today, is our analytics team found 103 voters in Connecticut with same or similar names, same exact address, same exact city, same exact birthday, and we had it vetted through a third party to verify our information. And basically, it looks like, as long as it's not an error on the Secretary of State's part, that they double voted under the two different voter ID numbers.
All right, wait a sec. Let me review this to make sure I understand properly. You're going through the list of people who voted in the November elections, and you're finding that the same person voted 103 times, same person from the same address in the same town?
No, there's 103 people who potentially double voted using two different voter ID numbers. And that actually came, that information is in the Secretary of State voter registration database. It's right in the database. Anybody can get it. You purchase the database through the Secretary of State, and our analytics team were working with some of the stuff, and we just stumbled across.
That's very interesting. So what have you done with this information that you found?
Well, this morning I hand-delivered the binder with all the people's names and a letter to the Secretary of State. Then I filed the SEEC complaint. That's with the State Election Enforcement. And I also filed it with the feds as well. Because if it is true that these people double-voted, it's a felony. It's in Connecticut, everybody says, well, there's no voter fraud. There's only been 21 convictions in Connecticut. We're bringing forward five times that with just what we did today.
In a single election. And from a single floppy disk or whatever kind of disk they use now to communicate these files to you. And these are in the records of the state. So a simple examination of the database on their own would find the problems. On the other hand, though, Linda, people would say, oh, you know, you've got 100 double voters in a state that has 3 million plus adults in it. Like, what is there to be worried about? Why doesn't this prove those who say there is no voter fraud to speak of?
Oh, not even close. There's 2.505 million voters on the voter registration list. What we brought forward today is just a drop in the bucket. We have our researchers, our investigators that are doing incredible work, and believe me, we are going to be coming forward with evidence of tons and tons of people who voted in Connecticut, voted in Texas, voted in Georgia as well, and other states, other towns. We've found people who voted from a town that they do not live in and haven't lived in years.
Oh, so they moved out and they never got taken off of the voting rolls in the old town?
But they had their absentee ballots forwarded to their new location, which when you sign an absentee ballot request form, that's a legal document. You are stating, I live at that original address, but do me a favor and send my ballot to this other address.
To another state. Yeah.
to another state, to another town.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. No. Like, why would you even do that for somebody forward? There shouldn't be forwarding of the ballot, should there?
Well, there is, and it's been in place even for our Constitution that people are allowed to vote absentee ballot. Say someone goes to Florida for 3 months, and it just so happens it's in the winter months. They're a Connecticut resident. They can have their ballot sent to them in Florida.
Having it sent to them is different than having it forwarded, if you mean forwarding through the post office, because forwarding suggests that all the mail is shifted because we no longer live here.
Well, what they're doing, I'm not sure even for the forwarding part, but when they sign it, they can actually put, please mail it to this address. So the town clerk then mails it to that new address. And like I said, it's there because there's some people who have permanent absentee ballots, which there's a process for that. They have a letter from a doctor. And then every year they're asked to sign a letter saying that they still need it. But what's happened now in this past year with the Secretary of State sending out to 2.505 million people on our voter rolls, our voter rolls are not accurate. You need to clean out the 11,000 people that we know have passed away that got those absentee ballot request forms. Now, in Hartford, they're trying to pass so many different laws to change our voting rights. And people should be outraged at this.
Yes, let's talk. We've got to take a quick break, Linda, and then we'll talk more about that. Linda Zinkowitz is here from fightvoterfraud.org. She is the founder of that organization and runs it. And this is citizen activist action. People wonder, what can I do? Well, be interested in what goes on in your name. Be interested and be willing to put some effort into it. We all spend a lot of time doing things that aren't necessarily all that productive. And we could be using that time to do crazy, adventuresome, wonderful, world-changing things like what Linda is doing. It's really so cool, Linda, that you do this. Fightvoterfraud.org. We'll see. All right. So talk to us about these constitutional amendments that you referred to. What concerns you about those?
Well, one of the bills that they want to pass has to do with changing our Constitution to allow the legislatures to decide any new voting laws that they want to put into place. So essentially, they want us to give up our complete constitutional rights to have any input on the voting. Currently, to make any changes, you need two-thirds of the vote of the legislature. And then it comes to we the people. And in 2014, we the people said no. Well, now they want it to say, okay, not going to go to we the people. The legislators will decide. And there's no parameters. And one particular legislature, when Dominic Rapini, my board chair, and I were testifying on one of the bills a few weeks ago, she actually said, well, you have to pass it before we actually know what's going to be in it. Now, we've all heard that.
Wait a second. She pulled a Pelosi?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. There are so many different things that they're trying to change. But quickly, I want to go back to why does 103 that we found matter?
Yes.
Well, how much fraud is acceptable? I mean, you go into a bank and you commit fraud for a loan. How much is acceptable? It should be a zero tolerance.
Well, it should be a zero, but if you had 2.5 million people applying for a loan on the same day, you would assume there's some scammers in there. And it's not that it's acceptable, but in the world of all the insidious things going on and all the grifters and con artists, if you've only had 103 people trying to defraud the voting system on an election day, that would be a pretty minuscule amount as a percentage, as a rate of fraud, right?
Even percentage-wise, having any fraud. So hypothetical, if we came forward with 10,000 people, would that be considered an amount that's acceptable?
Well, it's a lot more exciting. Sure. Well, yeah, you could take a you'd have to send out a lot of TV crews, and they'd work for months to interview all those fraudsters.
Right. And look at 2018. We had 22 races that were determined by less than 100 votes. You got to think about that. That's less than 100 votes. And right now, this 103, as I said, it's a drop in the bucket from what we will be bringing forward in the coming weeks and months.
Yes, well, that's good, and I love hearing that. And I don't mean to diminish in any way what you're up to, but I feel that there is such major manipulation of voting taking place in our country and in the state. As a matter of fact, what the Democrats are doing right now with those constitutional amendments, those new laws they're trying to pass, to take away the tightness of the system. Connecticut is fortunate in that some brilliant people wrote into the Constitution limits on things like absentee ballots and early voting. And what the Democrats are looking to do at a period of time in which there is great concern over the solidity and quality of our ability to run elections, particularly in this era where things are so tight. And as you mentioned, Linda, where elections sometimes are virtual ties, it's really important to have a system that can function. And it seems that what they're trying to do is create anarchy and use the confusion and the lack of clear rules as an opportunity for them to use the machinery that they have developed to control elections, to control those elections more forcefully. And I think it's an appalling thing for a political party to do. Linda Zinkowitz is our guest from fightvoterfraud.org. What else do you want us to know, Linda?
Well, Dominic Rapini and I are testifying tomorrow against the bill number 6205, where they're trying to have it again to have everybody be able to go in with vote with absentee ballots. Now, first, I should preface the fact that we're not against absentee ballots. We have a problem with our database. The way the system has been run, we've got several hundred thousand inactive voters, people who haven't voted
inactive.
In years. They're not being purged from the system, people who passed away. Their absentee ballots can be picked up by somebody, and they'll sign the person's name because they're not double-checking names and have it forwarded to some other address or, if it was where the person used to live, back to their home. So there's no election integrity. That's what we want. We don't care what party anyone is from. We're nonpartisan. We fight voter fraud, one vote for one legal voter. And in Connecticut, we do not have that. That's why it's so significant with this first 103. Literally, a drop in the bucket, Secretary of State's office has the database. Why didn't they pick up on it? It's simple. You know, our analytics team, it probably took them 5 minutes to find it.
Yes, that's a really good point. And I guess the reason they don't find anything is because the whole government's controlled by Democrats, and they like these anomalies popping up because they're trying to create a system through which all kinds of fraud can happen. That's the name of the game for them.
And we at Fight Voter Fraud want to assist the Secretary of State with the database to show her the stuff that we have already found that we're not disclosing yet, to get a system, again, for one vote for one legal voter. That's what we're looking to do. In the meantime,
well, I'm sure the Secretary of the State will be shocked to see that there are any problems with the voting. Linda, we've got 30 seconds. Give us a closing thought.
Closing thought is anybody who knows of anybody that doesn't live where they used to live that may have committed voter fraud, send us an email. Go to our website, fightvoterfraud.org. And if you want to help support our cause, please donate. We're a nonprofit. so we'd really appreciate the support. Or if you want to volunteer, send us an email through the volunteers, and we'll get you involved with all the rest of our volunteers that have been helping.
Linda, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Linda Zinkowitz, the organization FightVoterFraud.org. Good work that they do. That's the kind of work that can be done when people put their minds to it.